Did you ever have a conversation that went something like this? Let me get my phone out. Hello, Faith?
Hello?
I'm working on a project in my office, and I wonder if you could come down and help me a little bit.
Sure, I'll be down there in a minute.
In a minute?
Yep.
All right, thank you. Talk to you later. All right. So you have that promise. I'll be down to help you in a minute. So you get back to work, and you don't think about it too much, and then you start to wonder, it's been more than a minute. It's almost like 2 minutes, and then it's 5 minutes, and maybe even 10 minutes, and still Faith hasn't shown up. So you get to the point where you think, well, I better call her again, see if she forgot or something. Hello, Faith?
Hello?
Yes, can you still come down to help me?
Yeah, I'll be down there in a second.
Okay, thank you. I'll be down in a second. Just a minute. I'll be there in a second. And then the wait begins. Can be a long wait sometimes, and can be very frustrating as you sit and wait. Have you ever felt that way about Jesus' return and all of his power and glory? Jesus promised us in his word that he would come back. And he said, I will come back soon. Well, that was over 2,000 years ago, and he still hasn't come back. You might have even wondered, I wonder if he's forgotten. But our text tells us that we have God's word, and we have his promise in that word, that he is coming, and he is coming soon. Almost since the day of his ascension, unbelievers have been mocking and ridiculing, saying, well, maybe he doesn't want to go back. I mean, look at the mess this world is in. Maybe he just gave up and he's not going to return. Maybe he's not going to come back at all. But Peter assures us that's not true. Peter writes, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there's the reason why Jesus has not yet returned. It's because he's patient. And why is he so patient? Again, Peter tells us he's patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want any single person to die and end up in eternal damnation. It is God's heartfelt desire that all people, each and every person, every single one of them, repents and believes. But we believe. So why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Maybe think of it this way. You've worked all day in your office, and you worked a little bit longer than usual. And when you left, it was a lot later than you anticipated, and now you're afraid that the bus that's going to take you home will have already left, and then you're going to be stuck downtown. So you come running out of the office building and down the street, and oh, good news, the bus is still sitting there waiting. We're thankful that the bus waited for us because the bus driver knew us and wanted to make sure that he would stay just a little bit longer so that we could get home that night. So we hop on the bus and we go to our usual seat and we sit down and we breathe a breath of relaxation and then we start looking at our watch. Well, he's already late. Why isn't he leaving now? I'm here. But he still doesn't get going. He's still waiting. So we said to him, well, what in the world is he waiting for? I'm already here. Well, Well, he's waiting because he knows that there's other people who are also running a little late and need to get home also. So he patiently waits for them too. So maybe we shouldn't get so upset at God for being patient and taking too long to get back. The reason he's waiting is because there are others out there in the world who still need to hear that word of life, who need to repent of their sins and find faith in Christ their Savior. Did you ever think that maybe you could do something to speed up his return a little bit? Well, in a way, we can do that. When God works through us to spread his word among unbelievers, hearts are going to change and souls are going to be saved. And the sooner that all those elect are brought into the fold, the sooner Jesus will return. That's something we need to keep in mind, especially when we are faced with one of those witnessing opportunities and we don't take advantage of that opportunity. Or when we decide we need to cut back on our mission offerings, or we neglect to pray for our missionaries who are doing our work out in the fields. We should not only look forward to the day of our Lord's return, we should also do all that we can do to speed its return, its coming. Peter tells us that there is something very important that we need to be doing every day of our lives as we wait for that day of our Lord's return. Peter reminds us, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Since Jesus could return at any moment, we want to make sure that that's how we are living our lives. Living our lives like we are the children of God. Living our lives like we are the light of the world. Living our lives so that others can see Jesus in the things that we do and say. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. To be the light of life in this world dark with sin. We're to live so differently in this world that the people of the world can look at us and immediately see that we are different. And then come to the conclusion that we're different because we've been with Jesus. But that's not always easy to do, is it? It's a dark world. And the old Adam still clings to us. And sometimes it's rather hard to be the light we're supposed to be. Satan still has that grip on our old Adam. And we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Have you ever felt like St. Paul? Oh, sinful person that I am, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil I don't want to do, that I do. The old Adam still clings to us, and he makes us stumble and fall in our walk of faith. But even though we stumble and fall, we need to remember this. Satan thought that if he could just get his hands on Jesus and have him put to death, the victory would be his. So Satan worked so hard to get Jesus' own people to condemn him of blasphemy. Satan worked to get the Romans to condemn him to death. Satan made sure that he got nailed to a cross. Satan had him wrapped in burial clothes and placed in a tomb, and a huge stone rolled in front of the doorway. And Satan made sure that Roman soldiers were placed outside of that tomb to make sure that Jesus would stay inside. But in spite of everything that he did, Jesus rose from the dead. And by that resurrection, Jesus conquered death. And he robbed the grave of its victory. And he crushed Satan. And he broke his hold on us. It was, as St. Paul declares it to be, an overwhelming victory that Christ has won over Satan, sin, death, and hell. Well, does that mean that we're never going to sin again? Well, no, because Satan is still up to his old tricks. And even though we might not like to admit it, we still fall for those old lies. But when that happens, what do? As children of God, we go running back to Jesus. As children of God, when we stumble and fall, it is our constant prayer, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Oh Lord, please create a clean heart within me and place in me a steady new spirit. Repentant and forgiven, then we are always ready, whenever it may occur, for that day when Jesus comes back. Did you catch those images in our lesson for today? How God is going to purge everything with his final judgment. Imagine what that must be looking like. The wrath of God blazing over the sins of the world. And know that because of Jesus, because of our faith, because God has clothed us in the righteousness of Christ, we will stand on that great day. On that day, and it's true for every day of our lives, on that day, nothing will be more important to us than our faith. So as we wait for this great day of our Lord's return and all of his power and glory, we need to make sure that we are doing all that we can do to improve and strengthen our faith. And so we worship regularly and often. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So we read and study the Word of God every day. We search, we study, we make that Word an inseparable part of our lives and our thoughts. We commune at the Lord's table regularly and often. We pray without ceasing. We shine the light of life into this dark world by our words and deeds. We want to make sure these days that we are doing everything we need to do so that we are always growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is coming. And he is coming soon. And we need to make sure that every day we are ready and strong in our faith. One more thing about that day of our Lord's return. It's not all going to be about judgment. It's also going to be about restoration. On that day, God tells us he's going to make everything new, a new heaven and a new earth. You ever wonder what that might be like? Well, again, we can only imagine. But the scripture tells us whatever you can imagine, whatever you can think, the reality is going to be so much greater than anything you can imagine or think. There will be no more death, No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more sin or suffering. On that day, there will be the beginning of endless joy and perfect peace forever. On that day, we will get to see our Savior God face to face. On that day, we will actually know Him. And we will dwell in His presence forever. So, when will all this happen? Soon. That's Jesus' promise to us. And even if the world has to wait another 2,000 years, we will do it gladly. Because we know as long as we're waiting, there's more and more and more people being brought to faith. And they will be able to see how deep and wide the love of God is for them too. He delayed His judgment for us. And now He delays His judgment for others, so that they too can be brought to faith. So as we wait for that day of our Lord's return, share God's love with someone. Tell others of that good news of great joy. Because by doing so, the soon of our Lord's return just might be a little sooner. Amen. You rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We make confession of our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin this morning.
Oh,